السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. شكرا، أحسن الله إليكم.
آمين وإياكم أبا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله بخير.
We are 3 minutes late already. Can we go on?
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، in continuation of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari Abu Abdullah, we were on Bab al-Sibab, the chapter about denigrating a Muslim or belittling him. Al-Sibab, the Arabs say that is ihanatul ghayr, ihanatuhu, bringing him down, belittling him, bikalamin qabihin wa jarihin, using expressions that are bad, wa jarihin, and things that when you hear it about somebody, you don't like to have anything to do with that person. That is as-sibab. As-sibab, when you belittle somebody or defame him, or when you denigrate him, it has to do with ihanatul ghayr, bringing that person down, smearing him, bikalamin kabih, when you use expressions that are very bad and negative, you employ negative expressions to bring ihana, to bring disgrace, to bring insults to your brother. And that is usually accompanied with al-ghadab. When you do that, sa'at al-ghadab, Arabs will say sababtahu. You have defamed him. You have smeared him. You have denigrated him. There is a kalima, as we said in the last class, that is similar to that. And that is ash-shatmu. Ash-shatmu is az-zammu wal-isa'atu bil-qawl bima laysa fi. Az-zammu wal-isa'atu. Az-zammu is when you begin to blame him. Wal-isa'atu bil-qawl. And you say negative things to him. You direct negative comments to him. Bima laysa fi. And these things that you direct to him, they are not with him. Such as, the man may be tall. You are abusing him that is a short man. This is a shatmu. The man is tall. You are abusing him that he is short. That is a shatmu. The man has two clear eyes and he sees well. But you insult him and abuse him and say that he is blind. That is a shatmu. But as for as-sibab, you just want to bring him down. So if you look at it properly, these words may be used as synonyms, but they are actually different from one another. About every shatmu will form a sab. Every shatmu will form what? A sab. But not every sabu is what? Is shatm. Not every sabu is what? Is shatm. So a sabu or a sibab is wider in scope than a shatmu. As for a shatmu, that is when you bring him down, saying things that are not with him, calling him a liar when he's a truthful person, calling him stupid when he's actually an intelligent person. And you know that he's intelligent, but you say he's stupid. When you refer to an intelligent person to be stupid, what you are doing, tashtumuhu, this is a shatmu that you direct to him. But when you say asibab, that will be sibab to or asabu, because you are just making that statement to bring him down, to disgrace him. So each time you say a statement to disgrace that person, if that thing you have said about him is not true, that is called what? A shatmo. And whether it is true or not, that is called what? A sibab. I hope that this differentiation is clear. These two words are usually used interchangeably, but they mean differently. When you abuse someone, you direct negative comments to him, and those things are not of him. That is what is called what? A shatmu. But when those things are with him or not with him, that is what referred to as what? As sibab. So every shatmu is also a sub, and but not every sub will make a but not every shatmu will make a sub, meaning that a sabu is wider in scope than a sibab. A sibab is wider in scope than what? A shatmu. I hope that this is clear. Shatmu comes when what you say is not of him, but the two are used together. What connects them is that the intention is to disgrace that person that you are talking about. The intention is to bring disgrace to him. So don't bring disgrace to your brother. Don't insult, belittle him. You want to shut him down. He's all flying in the sky. You want to bring him down. Don't do that to a Muslim. Don't belittle him. Don't denigrate him. Don't smear him. All of these will come from the aspects of what? As-sibab. May Allah protect all of us. The first hadith we read regarding that, to show that it is something very, very dispraised in our religion, was hadith number 419 in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after mentioning his isnad that ended with Abdullah ibn Abbas, who reported that istabba rajulani ala ahdi rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two men exchange as-sab. Istabba rajulani, two men exchange as-sab. So it came from the two of them. But how did it come? Sabba ahaduhuma al-akhar. Sabba ahaduhuma wal-akharu sakitun. Sabba ahaduhuma wal-akharu sakitun. One of them was belittling the other, was insulting him, was abusing him. Wal-akharu sakitun. As for the second one, he was silent. وَالنَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ جَالِسٌ. While that first person was insulting the second person, who was silent, والرسول, during that period, the Prophet was sitting down, عليه الصلاة والسلام. He was listening, he was just looking. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ثُمَّ رَدَّ الْآخِرِ. Afterwards, the second one, who was originally silent, Radda, he also began to reply and respond to the insult and the abuse from the first person. فَنَهَضَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. At that, نَهَضَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. The Prophet then stood up. He stood up away from the two of them. So now, the two parties began to insult one another. This one was abusing this one. The other one was abusing the other. Fakila nahabta. So it was said to the Prophet alayhi salam, You stood up to leave. Qal. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, nahabatil malaikatu fanahabtu ma'ahu alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet said, نَهَضَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ فَنَهَضْتُ مَعْهُ. The angels stood up and went away. So I stood up and went away. The angels stood up and went away. So I stood up and went away. in hada, what happened was, as for this one, the second person who was replying the insult, ma kana sakitan raddat al malaikatu alla alladhi sabbahu, the time when he remained silent, the second person who replied, when he was silent, raddat al malaikatu alla alladhi sabbahu, the angels were replying against the one who was insulting him when he was silent. And the first person was insulting him. The malaika, the angels, not one. The angels were replying. They were replying. They were returning his insults to him on behalf of the person who was silent. They were replying and giving back the insults to him. Falamma aradda, but when he started to reply, nahabatil malaika, when he started to give back by himself, nahabatil malaika too, the angels took their leave. They stood up and they went away. They went away. That was why I went away too. This hadith, Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah mentioned it daif because of Abdullah ibn Kaysan, that the ulama have ruled to be daif. He is a weak reporter of hadith. In fact, others say, la yuftaju bihi, is not a person upon whose narrations you can depend. You can depend on his narrations to give evidence. Who is that? Abdullah ibn Kaysan, who was reporting from Ikrimah al-Barbari, who reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas. But others amongst the scholars, as we said in the last class, they have graded this hadith to be Hassan. Why? It has other corroborating ahadith. It has another isnad that they found with which they gave credence that this and support that this report, yes, this isnad is daif, but it has another isnad. And that isnad occurs in Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. And that's in that isnad, it occurs that the second person who was being abused, against whom insults were directed, was who? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. From amongst those who grade this hadith to be sound and dependable was Sheikh Abdul Razak Ibn Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad. Sheikh Abdul Razak Ibn Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad was from amongst those who have graded this hadith to be sahih and dependable because of its other corroborating evidence in other books of hadith, like the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad, like As-Sunan by Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi. So it is sound and it is right that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a gathering when one of the people began to direct insults to the next person. And for as long as the next person was silent, was not replying, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also at the gathering. But when the second person began to reply insult for insult, abuse for abuse, negative words for negative words, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and left. When he was asked alayhi salatu wa sallam, nahatta, he said, nahattu, yes, I stood up. Why? Nahabatil malaikatu, the angels stood up, fa nahattu ma'ahum, so I stood up with them. So we understand that this report is a sound report. And each time the individual comes with his insult, a better thing to do was what that first person did. Like we said, it occurs in other reports that it was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Just remain silent. Don't give vent. Don't give a support to Shaitan. Because when he began to insult his brother, Shaitan had been there. Shaitan had come. One of the scholars, Sheikh Abdul Razak, narrated an incident between two men. One of them just got married. And that day he got married, he went to the filling station to buy fuel. The night of his marriage, he went to the filling station to buy fuel. And when he paid for the fuel, he got a change, but he got something perhaps he was expecting, say, for example, 5 naira, and he got a change of 3 naira. So he called the attendant, "Where is the rest of my change?" And he insulted that attendant. The attendant returned the insult. When he returned the insult, Shaitan would come, the angels would leave. When you return insult for insult, abuse for abuse, Shaitan will come. So when the attendant returned the insult, the other one now insulted him more, because the heat of the insult will increase. It will not reduce. Why? Shaitan is now present with them. Shaitan had come so that evil will hold sway in that circumstance. So as the one who just married insulted him, I think he has to say something regarding him that was very painful. He looked by the side, he picked a stick and hit him. The one who just got married died on the spot. Sheikh Abdul Razak narrated this incident in his sharh on Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So sometimes when you don't return insults, the heat of a trouble does not come loud. The heat is reduced. You gain rewards, and the angels will reply against the insults on your behalf. But when you get busy with the insult, someone says you are mad, you reply you are mad. Someone says you are stupid, you reply you are stupid. Someone says you are uncultured, you reply you are also uncultured. This kind of a circumstance will make angels to leave. Yes, there's a verse in the Quran that wala man intasara ba'da zulmihi fa ulaika ma alayhi min sabi. The one who seeks a revenge, so to speak, after evil was done to him, he replied, yeah, there's no blame. They say, yes, there's no blame on him as long as he said back exactly what he said. There's no blame on him, truly. For him not to reply is better for him. If he replies, that is lawful. He has not committed a sin. Now, if he replies with an insult bigger than the one that was directed to him, then he begins to fall into a sin. So you can see how dangerous it is. If he replied the same word for the same word for which he was insulted, there is no blame. There is no blame. Ma alayhim min sabi. We will not find a means to now blame him. He has not done something that can make us blame him. Why? He just gave back what he was given. Okay. But when he goes beyond, then he begins to commit a sin. Someone says, you are mad. You say to that person, you are mad and stupid. You have become the one who is incurring the sin now. But in all of these, from the time the second person begins to reply, the angels leave him to it, because he is now facing the battle by himself. They leave him to him to it, they leave. So the response they were responding on his behalf, they leave it to him. Okay, respond by yourself. So that's lawful. But not to respond is better. I hope that this matter is clear to us. It also makes us understand that the person who starts insults is an invitee of Shaitan. He invites Shaitan. If you start insults in anything with your brothers, then you are inviting Shaitan. If you start an insult regarding a matter with your brother, you are inviting Shaitan. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think that will suffice for Hadith 419. In Hadith 420, الإمام البخاري رحمه الله said, حدثنا هشام بن عمار قال حدثنا رديح بن عطية قال حدثنا إبراهيم بن أبي عبلة عن عم الدرداء أن رجلا أتاها فقال إن رجلا نال منك عند عبد الملك فقالت إن نوبنا بما ليس فينا فطالما زكينا بما ليس فينا. إن نوبنا بما ليس فينا فطالما زكينا بما ليس فينا. إن نوبنا بما ليس فينا فطالما زكينا بما ليس فينا. الإمام البخاري reports this hadith from his Sheikh Hisham ibn Ammar. This is evidence that Hisham ibn Ammar was from amongst the teachers of al-Imam al-Bukhari. He said, Haddathana Hisham ibn Ammar. The reason I'm saying this is that there is a mas'ala amongst the scholars of hadith where some people say that Hisham ibn Ammar was not from amongst the teachers of al-Imam al-Bukhari. This statement in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, when al-Bukhari said, Haddathana Hisham ibn Ammar, that is a clear-cut evidence that al-Imam al-Bukhari was from amongst the students of Hisham ibn Ammar. Hisham ibn Ammar lived so long. He had a long life. He taught and taught. He learned and learned and learned right from the time of al-Imam Malik. Hisham ibn Ammar was alive. He took knowledge from al-Imam Malik. And he lived so long until the likes of al-Bukhari came and met him. Hisham ibn Ammar, rahimahullah, he was blessed. He took a long time learning. And he had long time teaching knowledge, Hisham. He had long time learning. He had a long time teaching knowledge. Rahimahullah. Most middle call. Hisham ibn Ammar. He was from among the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. This hadith 420 is a clear-cut evidence that Hisham ibn Ammar was from among the students of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. قال حدثنا رديح بن عطية. هشام بن عمار said حدثنا رديح. رديح بن عطية. رديح بن عطية was mentioned to be a very righteous person. رديح ابن عطية. He had one righteous deed for which he was known. Do you know بيت المقدس? بيت المقدس. In present-day Palestine, Bayt al-Maqdis. He was the muazzin of that masjid for a long time. Rudaysh. Rudaysh was the muazzin of Bayt al-Maqdis. They used to be called Rudaysh al-Muazzin. Rudaysh al-Muazzin. He was muazzin of Bayt al-Maqdis for a long time. So he said, Haddafana Ibrahim ibn Abi Abla. Ibrahim ibn Abi Abla Ash-Shami. Ibrahim ibn Abi Abla Ash-Shami was the teacher of Rudaysh al-Mu'adzin in this isnad. And Ibrahim ibn Abi Abla Ash-Shami was reporting this athar from Ummu Darda herself, rahimahullah. We had mentioned that Abu Darda, he had a wife, Ummu Darda. Ummu Darda, the first of them, used to be referred to as what? Ummu Darda al-Kubra, radiallahu anha. She was a companion. But she passed away and left her husband, Abu Darda. So Abu Darda married another young girl, very young at the time. When Abu Darda married Ummu Darda al-Sugra, Ummu Darda al-Sugra was a very, very young girl. But she was not a companion. The Prophet had died at that time. So he married Ummu Darda, and her name was Hujaymah. Her name was what? Hujaymah al-Dimashkiya. Hujaymah al-Dimashkiya began to learn from her husband. She learned the entirety of the Quran from Abu Darda. She read the Quran from her husband. She was a young girl who was married to him. And he began to be her teacher. And she rose and became so knowledgeable. And she lived in Sham with her husband, Abu Darda. She became so knowledgeable that Maqhul al-Shami, Maqhul was one of the biggest scholars from amongst the Tabi'un, or the Atba'u, the Tabi'un, the Sigar al-Tabi'in, from amongst those who came from al-Sham. When he spoke about Ummu Darda al-Dimashkiya, Hujaymah, he said, كانت أم الدرداء فكيهة. كانت أم الدرداء فكيهة. This Umm Darda we are talking about, she was a scholar of fiqh. She was a scholar of fiqh. Don't forget, I have repeated, it was just like her marriage. Her marriage to Abu Darda was like the marriage of Aisha radiallahu anha to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That marriage of Aisha to the Prophet turned Aisha radiallahu anha the most learned woman in the history of mankind. The most learned woman, mutlaqan, was who? Aisha bintu Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, zawjatu Rasulillah, as you like. You can say zawj and you refer to a woman. So, radiallahu anha, the marriage of Aisha turned Aisha to become the most learned woman in the history of mankind. The most learned, very knowledgeable, radiallahu anha. Likewise, the likes of Ummu Darda. She was young, she got married to Abu Darda, and she took a lot of knowledge from Abu Darda, and she became a faqiha in her time. Radiallahu anha wa rahimahallah. One of the scholars at that time was also talking about this woman, Ummu Darda. He said, ما رأيت أحدا أفضل منها. ما رأيت أحدا أفضله عليها. I did not see anyone that I would prefer to her. I met a lot of scholars, including Ummu Darda. But as for Ummu Darda, she was the best. At that time, that showed that she had climbed the upper steps of knowledge. Radiallahu anha. Why do we always emphasize this? Number one, she was a woman. It's a woman, so women too can learn, pay good attention to knowledge, and rise upon the ladders of seeking knowledge and teaching knowledge. They can rise, learn, and then rise to become scholars too in the community of Muslims. They will not just only be professors of medicine. I always say this. Each time we say, oh, our women, we need women in medicine. We also need women who will teach Islam. We need women who will teach Quran. We need women who will teach Arabic, who will teach Hadith, who will teach fiqh. As we need women in medicine, we need women too who will teach in these sciences. So when many of us say, this my daughter, she's going to become a professor of medicine, that is good. Let some of us also be thinking, this my daughter, she's going to become a specialist in the sciences of the Quran. Because as this is important, this is also important. In fact, perhaps more important. But today you hardly find women who will rise like this. Families begin to say, oh no, I want my daughter to be a pharmacist. Have you donated your daughter to be a scholar of fiqh too? Because as we need the pharmacist, we need the faqiha who will teach women their religion. Many of the women are ignorant about their religion. They don't have access to it. So if you have a woman, she can be the one teaching the women. So as you can't find sufficiency with doctors, you can't also find sufficiency with women learning the Quran. So let's not limit these things. Someone sent me a message one time. She's a medical doctor. She was very brilliant. She said she needs a woman who memorized Quran. I said, oh, you need a woman who memorized Quran. You could have been the one. But we lost you to medicine. Okay, but now you're a medical doctor. How about others? A man who have 7 daughters. He wants all the 7 daughters, all of them. There's no single one of them that he's thinking that from all my daughters, I'm not talking about boys, girls. From all my daughters, you'll be a scholar of Islam. You'll be a scholar of tafsir. You will be a scholar of hadith. So the distribution is always about one is a doctor, one is a pharmacist, one is a lawyer, one is a gynecologist, one is a pilot. One is, which one have you devoted to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This one, you, it is Quran. Anything regarding Quran, women will come to you. Have we taught like this regarding the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So for the sake of Allah, as we think about the sciences of this world, we should also consider getting our women involved in the things of the hereafter. For the rest of the other women, for their children, the neighbors, if nobody benefits from your wife's knowledge of Quran and Hadith and Arabic and Fiqh except your children. Is that not okay? Don't we have brothers whose wives are nurses and doctors? And yet they are home wives, housewives, and nobody benefits from them except the household. So parents, for the sake of Allah, as you distribute it amongst your children, this one is pharmacist, this one is doctor, think about the sciences of the religion too. Devote them. This one, you will be a scholar of fiqh, you will be a scholar of hadith, you will be a scholar of Quran and tafsir. You will be a scholar of Luga. Anything in Arabic, ask her, she will answer. So let us also think about devoting our girls. I'm not talking about the boys now. Girls, devote them. Ummu Darda Makhul Ash-Shami said, Kanat Ummu Darda Fakihatan. Ummu Darda was a scholar of fiqh, radiallahu anha. This report we are taking today was from her. It said that Anna Rajulan Ataha, a man came to her and said, Inna Rajulan Nala Minki Inda Abdul Malik. Inna Rajulan Nala Minki Inda Abdul Malik. A man had begun to insult you Inda Abdul Malik in front of the king, Abdul Malik at the time, Ibn Marwan. Somebody had begun to insult you. Somebody had begun to speak evil about you. Somebody had begun to belittle you and denigrate you in front of the king, speaking evil about you. فقالت, she said, رضي الله عنها, إن نوبد بما ليس فينا. If we begin, if people insult us, nobody. Yet ittiham. So if the man begins to accuse me with what is not with me, in nobody, if we begin to be insulted and abused, bima laysa fina, with something that is not with us, they are saying that we are rude and we are not rude. They are saying that he's abusive and you are not abusive. They are saying that you are tall and you are a short person. In be abusing you with tallness, they abuse you with things that are not with you. This is common with people. Once they want to belittle you, they are ready to say anything about you. May Allah protect us. She said, radiallahu anha, innuba nabi ma alay safina. If we begin to be insulted and abused with something that we don't have, we are not guilty of it. We are not guilty. That, what you said, I am not like that. I'm not that person. But they begin to insult you, abuse you, and all of that with something that is not with you. فَطَالَمَا زُكِّينَا بِمَا لَيْسَ فِينَا طَالَمَا زُكِّينَا يعني طَالَمَا أُثْنِيَ عَلَيْنَا. Of course, many times too, we have been praised with something that is not with us. If I have been abused with something that I am free of, I have also many times been praised with something that is not with me. How many times do we praise a person with something that he does not have? I have been praised too with things that are not with me. So if I'm insulted with something that is not with me, I should accept it. These goals to make us understand the fiqh of this woman, Hujaymatu al-Dimashkiya, Ummu Darda, radiallahu anha. So you are abusing me with something that's not with me, no problem. In other circumstances too, we have been praised with things that are not with us. So that was a way of being calm and not paying back insult with insult. And that shows her sincerity too. Because the scholars say that from the aspects of sincerity is that when you are praised and when you are abused, they are the same with you. You don't get deceived with praises. You don't also feel bad with abuses. It's the same. If you like praise me, if you like insult me, if you like abuse me, the scholars say it is part of ikhlas. When you are being praised, yeah, well, alhamdulillah. When you are being abused also, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. So alhamdulillah on both cases. So that makes us understand that we should not be We should not become carried away with praises. When people praise you, don't be carried away. Because they will say things that are not with you. The same thing when people abuse you. Don't be carried away. Don't be carried away by their abuse. Don't be carried away by their insults. Don't be carried away by their invectives, as big grammar people say. They abuse you, they denigrate you. Don't let that bring you down. After all, people have praised you also perhaps with things that you don't have. So don't be carried away. I think we all need this advice. Don't become so disturbed. فَلَا تَظْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفْرَاتِ. Don't allow that now to make you become so down. Why are you so down? They were abusing me. They had also praised you. This or that. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا وَرَحِمَهَا اللَّهُ أُمُّ دَرْدَى gave that answer to the person who came to report to her that she was being abused in front of Malik, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. That makes us also understand that sometimes you don't get busy with these things. Don't get busy with it. She could have gotten busy with it by asking, what did they say? What did they say I do? Why did they do this? Why did they say? What do you? And then start asking for details. Okay, he was insulting me. We have also been praised with things that are not with us. So this is from the fiqh of Ummi Darda, radiyallahu anha. And this makes us understand that don't get busy with asab. Don't get busy with the one who goes on to insult you, abuse. Don't get busy with them. And as we had learned from the first hadith, for as long as that person is speaking evil regarding you and abusing you, the angels will be responding on your behalf. It's just about abuse. You'll be responding on your behalf. It's just insulting me. But the angels will respond on my behalf. And that was why Ummu Darda, radiallahu anha, she refused to become busy with it. She said, radiallahu anha, in no urbana bima alay safina. If we become insulted with something that is not, we don't have, it's not with us. She said, radiallahu anha, فَطَالَمَا زُكِّينَا بِمَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ. After all, many times too, we have been praised with something that is not with us. If they say you are a rude person, you are an arrogant person, you have also been praised. You are a very honest person. You are a very humble person. So just as the one is abusing you, nevertheless, in all of it, if anything is said about us requiring adjustment, we should look inwards and adjust. If anything was said about us requiring adjustment, then we should look inwards and adjust. But don't get busy with the insult or with the abuse or with the belittling of the person who sets us to belittle us and insult us and bring misery to us. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think that will suffice on Hadith 420. For narration 421, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Shihab ibn Abbad, Qala Haddathana Ibrahim ibn Humayd al-Ru'asi, An Ismail an Qais Qala Abdullah, Idha Qala al-Rajul li sahibihi, Anta aduwi, فقد خرج أحدهما من الإسلام أو برئ من صاحبه فقد خرج أحدهما من الإسلام أو برئ من صاحبه. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reports this hadith from his Sheikh Shihab ibn Abbad. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah reports this hadith from his Sheikh Shihab ibn Abbad. And Shihab ibn Abbad in this isnad is Shihab ibn Abbad Abu Umar al-Kufi rahimahullah. Shihab ibn Abbad Abu Umar al-Kufi rahimahullah. He said, حدثنا إبراهيم بن حميد الرؤاسي. Ibrahim ibn Humayd al-Ru'asi. The Sheikh of Shihab is, in this isnad, is Ibrahim ibn Humayd al-Ru'asi. He is also from the scholars of Kufa, Abu Ishaq, Ibrahim ibn Humayd al-Ru'asi, Abu Ishaq, rahimahullah, and Ismail. He is reporting from Ismail, and that is Ismail ibn Abi Khalid al-Kufi. Ismail ibn Abi Khalid al-Kufi. He's the one reporting from this eminent tabi'i, rahimahullah, Qais ibn Abi Hazim. Qais ibn Abi Hazim al-Kufi Abu Abdullah. This isnad is musalsalun bil-kufiyyin. Musalsalun, in every point of the isnad, the scholar there is from Kufa. Shihab is from Kufa. His Sheikh Ibrahim ibn Humayd is from the scholars of Kufa. Ismail ibn Abi Khalid is from Kufa. Qais ibn Abi Hazim is also Kufi. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was from the scholars of Kufa. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was from the scholars of Kufa. We recall that he was sent to Kufa from the later times of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was sent as the leading scholar in Kufa. Ibn Mas'ud, Abu Abdurrahman al-Huzali radiallahu anhu. So he said, إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلُ لِصَاحِبِهِ أَنْتَ عَدُوِّي فَقَدْ خَرَجَ أَحَدُهُمَا مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلُ لِصَاحِبِهِ. If an individual says to his brother, to his colleague, to his companion, a man says to his brother, أَنْتَ عَدُوِّي, you are my enemy. The scholars say, what does this mean? The enmity that can be generally said and affirmed is the enmity between the people of Iman and the people of Kufr. The people of Iman and the people of Kufr, there is a line of enmity amongst them. Muslims, our allies, note this. The non-Muslims know it and they note it. They notice that they are your enemy. No matter how much smiles they put in their faces when you meet them. The Christians know that they know you. They don't. You are not their friend. They will only wait for the time to show you that enmity. The non-Muslims, they will wait for the time to show you that enmity. And they will show you that enmity in a way to bring you down and never make you rise. But before that, they will show you a smiley face. So dangerous. So, Muslim, if you don't think that you have enmity with non-Muslims, wait until the day that it is shown to you. Some people waited for almost 70 years in their life to be taught a bitter lesson by the non-Muslims they had taken as friends and associates. Some people waited for 70 years to learn that hard lesson. Don't invest your love in a non-Muslim. And Allah told us about that in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu aduwi wa aduwakum awliya. Don't my enemy, and they are your enemies too. Allah said this in the Quran, Suratul Mumtahana or Mumtahina. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, la tattakhidhu aduwi wa aduwakum awliya. Your enemies are my enemies. They are enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They killed Anbiya of Allah, the prophets of Allah. They told lies and ascribed it to Allah. They called a human being, that human being is Allah. Are these friends of Allah? So you, the friend of Allah who says no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Allah has no child. Allah has no son. He has no associate, no colleague. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think you'd be a friend, those other people will take you for a friend. Allah says, they are your enemies. لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَا. Don't make them friends. Don't bring them as your associates and your companions. Allah says, don't do that. Tulquna ilayhim bil mawadda. Showing them love and affection. Don't do that. So some Muslim allies, you'll be saying, oh, don't worry, they are our second religion. Which second religion? Islam is just one. This is the only deen recognized by Allah. Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. So be careful. The point here is, be careful. The point here is, be careful. These people are your enemies. Allah said, they are your enemies. So be careful. Relate with them so carefully. Do what they do. From bizi ilayhim ala sawa. What they do to you, if they smile, smile. But you know in your mind, you are smiling to someone who may want to do something negative to you. So just be careful. This is what the Quran told us. So don't go and then start to show affection to a non-Muslim. وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا بِمَا جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَقِّ يُخْرِجُونَ الرَّسُولَ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنْ تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ. All the negative attitudes they show to you is just because you're a Muslim. Your name is Abdurrazak. There's a contract they will not give you because your name is Abdurrazak. They'll remove your name from the list. This has happened many times. They bring insults to you, they abuse you. So you must know inside you, and you must know how to relate with them. And look at how fair Islam is. It in that same surah, it shared, it divided them into two. Two groups. Those who openly show the enmity, and those who behave to you nicely. So when they behave to you nicely, behave to them nicely. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم. They've not shown you enmity. So if you are living in a kind of society we live in, the man has not fought you because you're a Muslim. The man has not sent you out of the house. He is the owner of the house because you're a Muslim. He has not shown you this. Just atabarruhum, be nice to them. Just within the way he's nice to you, be nice to him. So you can live with him peacefully. وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. When you relate with them, be fair. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Yes, inside his mind, he hates you. He dislikes you. But he's showing you, he is not showing you enmity. He has not openly shown the enmity. Like, as he relates with you, relate with him like that. He gives you a gift, give him a gift. He tells you good morning. Hey, my friend, good morning too. Hey, how are you? How is work today? You too say, how are you? How is work today? How is family? You too return it. How is family? But don't forget, he has an enmity in his mind against you. But for the other group who openly show you enmity, then don't show them friendship. If they show you openly that, hey, I don't want you because you're a Muslim, then don't show them friendship. How do you extend the hands of friendship to someone who openly shows you enmity? So these two conditions have been mentioned in the Quran too. So when you say, adu we to your brother, are you saying that that brother is a non-Muslim? The only person you can clearly have in mind and say that is a non-Muslim. Don't say that to your Muslim brother. This is what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is saying here. That إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلُ لِصَاحِبِهِ. If a man says to his brother, أَنْتَ عَدُوِّي. You are my enemy. He said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَقَدْ خَرَجَ أَحَدُهُمَا مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. One of them has left Islam. Because the only enemy known to a Muslim for which he can say, my enemy, this one is my enemy, referring to a non-Muslim. So by that, you're saying that your brother is your enemy. Are you expelling him from Islam? Don't expel your brother from Islam. And one of the ways to express that is to declare him as your enemy. Don't declare your brother as your enemy. Don't do so. Declaring him as your enemy. So for the sake of Allah, let us watch this. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiyallahu anhu, إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلُ لِصَاحِبِهِ أَنْتَ عَدُوِّي. When a Muslim, if a Muslim says to his colleague, you are my enemy, he said, radiyallahu anhu, فَقَدْ خَرَجَ أَحَدُهُمَّا مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. The implication is that one of them has gone out of Islam. So when one of them has gone out of Islam, So you have one Muslim and one non-Muslim that you can now both say there's an enmity in between the two of them. أو بارئ من صاحبه. The other thing, implication of that statement is that يبرأ من صاحبه. He is disconnecting from his brother. So if you say, you are my enemy, two things are involved. You are saying that that's your brother is a non-Muslim, or you are disconnecting from him. And the two of them are not lawful in our religion. I hope that we understand. Disconnecting from a non-Muslim is not correct. Declaring a Muslim as a non-Muslim is not also correct. Disconnecting from your brother, Muslim, is not correct. Declaring him as an enemy is not also correct. And that's why Qais ibn Abi Hazim, Abu Abdullah, the student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Qais ibn Abi Hazim, he now said, وأخبرني بعض أبو جحيفة. Later on, Abu Juhayfa informed me that أن عبد الله قال إلا من تاب, except the one who repents. Look at Qais ibn Abi Hazim. He reported what he heard directly. He also reported what he heard from a colleague. He did not join the two of them together. What he heard directly from Ibn Mas'ud said, no Muslim should say to another Muslim, oh, my enemy. Don't say that to your brother. If you say that to your brother, referring to him as an enemy, you are either ascribing him to religions other than Islam, because those are our enemies. Those are people who make Muslims enemies. It is a fact that Jews hate Muslims. It's a fact. Jews, they don't like Muslims. Christians, they don't like Muslims. Idolaters, they don't like Muslims. So if we say it, don't hold us for it. We are just telling us the fact. And our Lord Allah who said they don't like us. So some elect Muslims will say, you know what you are saying? You start explaining until you feel the bitter peel of that dislike they have for you. Allah told us in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. The disbelievers are helpers and lovers of themselves. إِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوهُ. If you don't allow it to occur like that. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. إِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. So allow it to be like that. Allow Muslims to be friends and relatives and close companions of the Muslims. Non-Muslims allow them to be like that. Illam taf'alu. If you don't allow it to be like that, then you find fitna. A Muslim will be relying on his Christian friends for 70 years, calling them, we are the same, we are one. Meanwhile, those people knew that he is not. He has one name inside his name. That name is Razak. Because of that Razak, if you like, bear 50 Yoruba names along with Razak. They know, they don't forget that you are a Razak. They will show you one day that your name is Razak. If you answer Yemi, Bola, Kifenwa, anything, they have it in mind that you are Razak. So the day you need their support, they withdraw it. Why? You are Razak now. How can a Joseph support a Razak? They are like that, and they have always been like that. So know this, and you know peace. However, Islam taught us how well to relate with them. If they don't show you enmity, don't show enmity. If they show you goodness, be good to them. If they show you niceness, be nice to them. If they show you smile, you smile to them too. So that will make us be able to live peacefully in the society. If they are fair to you, be fair to them. If they are unfair to you, you be fair to them. If they are unfair, you be fair. Be fair at all times. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wala takhun man khanak. Don't deceive the one who deceived you. He deceived you, don't deceive him. Look at our deen, religion, Islam. But have it in mind that you are relating with somebody who nurses and begrudges you because you're a Muslim. So don't tell your Muslim brother, you are my enemy, because you bring him in that category of people. don't tell him that. If you are not doing that, the least of what you are doing is that you are disconnecting yourself from him. And this is not lawful. And as Qais reported from Abu Juhayfa, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu, he said, illa man taba, except the one who makes what? A tawbah. It means that statement is a statement when a person makes it, he falls into a kabira, min al kabair. He falls into a major sin. It's a major sin to declare a Muslim as a non-Muslim. It's a major sin to declare disconnection from your Muslim brother. So, and that act itself requires, it requires what? A tawbah. It requires you to follow the procedure for repentance when you repent. And the connection between this report and the chapter under which it is being explained is that when you say this kind of an expression to your brother, he feels demeaned. It is demeaning. It is insulting to refer to a Muslim as a non-Muslim. It's very insulting. You say to someone, hey, you, my enemy, you. It's insulting. Don't say that to people. Don't make statements to people that brings them down, that insults them, that denigrates them, that belittles them, that smears them. Don't make such statements to people. And when you make such statements, then you need to make a tawbah, need to return to Allah, seeking for his forgiveness and repenting unto him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of us. I always say that from the virtues of listening to sermons is that you look inwards and you correct yourself. It's never too late. We will be battling with you till we pass away. You correct yourself, you correct yourself, you correct yourself. You'll be working on yourself. It never stops. You forget, you get reminded. You forget, you get reminded. But when we leave these things without talking about them, then we behave as if Allah has not sent messages to us regarding these matters. So let's not become busy with insults, abuse, denigrating the people and all of these. And when it happens to us, we should behave like Ummu Darda, radiallahu anha. Ummu Darda said, in Nu'bana bima laysa fina, wa talama zukina bima laysa fina. So if people begin to abuse you behind you with something that you are not guilty of, you have also been praised sometimes, somehow, with things that you don't have. So let us not get busy with insults and abuse. I hope that those of us in the social media so active will be careful about this. The social media is all about insults and abuse and all of these. Don't get busy with insults and abuse. May Allah forgive all of us and protect us all. Make us people who hear remembrance and become benefited by it. If we have a few questions that we can attend to today, we can go on. Bismillah. Abu, who is with us today? Abu Ayman, Abu Abdurrahman, Abu Yusuf. Amin. Alaykum as-salam, Abu Abdurrahman. Abu Yusuf. Yeah.
So the first question reads, when you mentioned Ummu Darda, you said radiallahu anha, and you already mentioned to her that it is Ummu Darda as-Sughra. Does this...
Naam, Abu Yusuf, I already got the question. Yes, sometimes we can say it loosely to people. Sometimes we can say it loosely. You will read in the books some scholars when they say Al Imam Malik, they say radiallahu anhu. They say Shafi, say radiallahu anhu. This is very common. If you go to the books of Al Imam Al Bayhaqi, you see things like this. Radiallahu anhu is dua. It's not that it is restricted. I can say it to Abu Yusuf radiallahu anhu just by way of making dua for you, that may Allah be pleased with you. So just by way of making dua. But what is, if it is taken as a common practice, this is where the issue is. If it is taken as a common practice, this is where the issue is. If it's for a common practice, then radiallahu anhu is for who? the companions, because Allah said in the Quran that radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. If it's something you want to be doing regularly, you can say that. You won't hear if you mention the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes. I say radiyallahu anhu. It's allowed to because it is dua, just because it is dua. But if now each time you mention the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you begin to say radiyallahu anhu, say no, that is not for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. I hope that this is clear. So you can use all these expressions generally if you make dua, just because they are dua. And when I mentioned radiyallahu anhu, I did it deliberately because at that time I mentioned her together with her husband. So I made her enjoy that at-taraddi that her husband Abu Darda would enjoy when we mentioned them. So if, even if without mentioning the husband, if you say Ummu Darda radiyallahu anha, you have not had a problem. But each time you begin to mention her, Ummu Darda, Ummu Darda, Ummu Darda, you are saying radiyallahu anha, radiyallahu anha, radiyallahu anha. We'll ask you this question that you are asking now. Are you referring to Ummu Darda al-Kubra or Ummu Darda al-Sugra, who should regularly have rahimahullah or alayha rahmatullah and so on? I hope that it is clear. Radiyallahu anhu is dua. It can be said as a dua to anybody at any point in time. But in terms of continuous usage, radiyallahu anhu should only be continuously used for the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then for any person lower than them in status, like from the tabi'un, we say to them, rahimahullah. I hope that this is clear, Abba Yusuf. I mean, there's a question, where do we find more information about Ummu Darda radiyallahu anha? If someone wants to read about Ummu Darda, Hujaima radiyallahu anha, if it's in Arabic, there are few books that you can read. You can look at Tariq al-Islam. You can go back to Tariq al-Islam by Al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah. It was extensive regarding her. You can also look at Siyar wa Alam al-Nubala, also by Al-Imam al-Zahabi. It was also extensive. Siyar wa Alam al-Nubala compiles the seerah of each of these people into a whole book. So he referred to it as seerah, biographies of our Alam, the eminent al-Nubala, noble Muslims in our history. There is also Alam al-Nisa in three volumes. It discusses, it mentions her. It talks about her biography. The Sheikh Mashur Hassan al-Salman also has a book, Inayatul Nisa'i bil Hadith al-Nabawi. He spoke about, in that book, he spoke about Ummu Darda at length. Inayatul Nisa'i bil Hadith al-Nabawi. All these are in Arabic. Al-Imam al-Zahabi, Al-Imam al-Mizzi, Jamal al-Din al-Mizzi, also in Tahzib al-Kamal. He also discussed Ummu Darda in Arabic. But if you ask me which resource material can I have in English, I sincerely don't know anyone. I don't know. Okay, Darussalam Publications, they have a translation of, I think that has to do with companions, female companions. And she is not a companion. I can't remember anyone now in English. You see more reasons why women need to learn now. Our women can learn no Arabic and begin to translate the biographies of our women into English for other women to study and read and know about the great women who had lived as Muslims and their great exploits and contributions to the spread of Islam. So you see, we need a lot of women, not just inside medicine and pharmacy and all of this we talk about every day. We need women who would be erudite scholars of Islam. They are going to be very, very useful. May Allah make it easy for us.
Ameen.
Abba Yusuf.
How do we marry non-Muslims if they are our enemies?
How do you marry non-Muslims if you are enemies? Who encouraged you to marry a non-Muslim in the first place? Is there anybody encouraging us to marry a non-Muslim? Nobody encourages you to marry non-Muslims. So, but if a non-Muslim, a Christian, this is a male question. As for Muslim females, a Muslim woman, young girl, cannot marry a non-Muslim. young, old, a Muslim woman, female, cannot marry a non-Muslim. It's haram, it's prohibited. Allah says, لَا هُنَّ حِلُّ لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنْ. Our women are not lawful for them. They are not lawful for our women too. So it's not lawful for a Muslim woman to marry a non-Muslim. Muslim girls say, ah, the guy is nice, Peter is nice. Don't let Peter be nice. It is haram for you to marry a Peter. But the Muslim, the males, it is allowed. Because some of them, you find them, they show niceness to you. We mentioned that. We mentioned that. It's halal. Allah said, Al-Yawma Uhilla Lakum At-Tayyibat. وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ وَطَعَامُهُمْ حِلُّ لَهُمْ وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مُحْصَنَاتُ chaste women, women who no man had ever touched amongst Christians, no man, not that you were her boyfriend making zina with her. And then you now think that you should now legalize your illegality. No, muhsanat, the one no man has ever touched, including you yourself. And you find them decent in their character. Yes, when they behave to you. That doesn't mean that woman doesn't have that hatred for you, inside her. And that's what we have seen over the years. I have a little experience about some men, Muslims, who married non-Muslims. It doesn't end well. One of the consequences of that is that your children will become non-Muslims. So how will it be on the day of Qiyamah when you enter Al-Jannah if they die upon other than Islam and they are going to Jahannam? You have not succeeded. You're a family man. Say you are free. That your freedom is a freedom that's unlawful according to the rules of Allah. You're a Muslim. You got married to a non-Muslim and your children are kuffar. So that is the evil men gain when you marry them. That is the outplay of that enmity still there. The enmity is still there. Unfortunately, at the beginning, these Muslim men will be saying, ah, she says she'll do my religion. How about your children? If you go to Southwest, you see many Muslim governors have wives who are non-Muslim. Even in Kwara State, there was heat. You see them, one man, Abdul Fatah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Manan, his wife is a non-Muslim. So don't ask about his children. That your children are enemies of Allah, is that not a loss to you? Does that not show that they still have an enmity? You are the one remaining. They make you become an isolated island inside your home. When you go for Salah to eat, you and your prayer mat alone and your siren, and you still don't think that that is a show of enmity to you. So the enmity is still there. The enmity is still there. But Islam has something. If these people, the man is showing goodness to me, okay, I'll show goodness to him. So if a person is showing goodness to you in the surface, yeah, if you choose to marry that person, it's just allowed. Like we said, if somebody is insulting you, don't reply with an insult. Not to reply is better. But when you reply, it's allowed. As long as you don't go beyond bounds. But don't reply is the better thing. So it's allowed to marry a non-Muslim woman. But not to marry them is better. Why? At that time, you are sure that you are not marrying an enemy. You are not marrying an enemy. You are marrying a Muslim like yourself. So your children will gain from her Islam. Your home will gain from her Islam. You come on the dining table and you say Bismillah before you start eating food. And your children are saying the name of Jesus. You don't feel anyhow as a Muslim. So the enmity is there even if you marry them. The enmity is still there. And that's what plays out that we have seen. They convert your children to... And when you die, what happens? What happens when you die? You say you are a liberal. You are liberal to yourself. You don't know that you are the enemy of yourself. When you die, what will happen to your children? You don't care. And you don't think that Allah will ask you about those children. So that's your wrong, mistaken idea of getting married to a non-Muslim. Now plays out. You now see that I was an enemy. She was an enemy. to herself and to you. She makes your children see you as a stranger. When you go to the mosque, your children will bring you prayer mat and turn back. You don't have the joy of going to the masjid, to the mosque on Friday or on any other day to worship Allah together with your children, because she had already poisoned them against you. So you're asking that why Islam says we should marry non-Muslims. May Allah protect us, Abu Yusuf. I think we can stop here today.
We can bring some of the other questions to tomorrow's class, inshallah.
Inshallah. Subhanakallahumma alhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.